Federal regulators today charged four former or current executives of Rite Aid with massively overstating the drugstore chain's profits. Former CEO Martin Grass faces some of the most serious charges, including conspiracy to defraud and tampering with witnesses.
Grass isn't the only chief executive finding himself in hot water these days. Earlier this week, Quest Communications fired its CEO, Joseph Nacchio, one of a growing list of chief executives who've been given the boot by struggling companies under investigation. The recent firings may signal the end of an era in which CEOs were treated not only as business leaders, but as celebrities. As NPR's Scott Horsley reports, the downsizing of chief executives may be painful, but for the best.
Tyco's Dennis Kozlowski. Adelphia's John Regas. Now Quest's Joseph Nacchio. The crowd of CEOs who've quit or been fired in recent months could fill a boardroom. And there, at the head of the table, would sit Enron's Kenneth Lay. Enron's implosion last year badly rattled investors' faith in Wall Street. And CEO Henry Paulson of Goldman Sachs said in a Washington speech this month, subsequent corporate meltdowns have only made things worse.
In my lifetime, American business has never been under such scrutiny. And to be blunt, much of it's deserved.
Corporate executives have fallen a long way since the late 1990s. Back then, the dot-com bubble was still expanding, and CEOs got the star treatment everywhere they went.
Ladies and gentlemen, please join me with a warm National Press Club welcome for Steve Case, Chairman and Chief Executive Officer of America Online.
What is clear already is that the internet is not an extension of the past, not a hybrid of old and new. It is a new life form altogether.
That was 1998. When AOL's signature email service starred in a new movie, along with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan. Corporate America had gone Hollywood, and CEOs were the new celebrities. Harvard Business School professor Robert Simons says a nation of novice investors embraced those CEOs who seemed to be larger than life.
All of a sudden, people became quite interested with what was happening in business, and the cult of the CEO and that person as an embodiment became very attractive. They were exciting, they were personalities, and I think the press played a very large role in this.
Business leaders were featured in the kind of glossy photo spreads once reserved for sports heroes and movie stars, and they began earning blockbuster paychecks as well. According to the nonprofit group United for a Fair Economy, the average CEO's pay soared 571% during the 90s. That's five times the growth in corporate profits during the decade, and nearly 18 times the growth in the average worker's pay. Much of that compensation came in the form of stock options. And according to Simons, many CEOs developed a single-minded focus on keeping their stock price high.
This is one of the downsides, too, of putting a CEO on a pedestal and making them really a public personality. As they became to feel that this was more and more their role, they were spending less and less time focused on actually how to run a business, which is the primary reason that they're hired to do that job in the first place.
Now that it's clear many of the high stock prices of the 90s were unjustified, CEOs seem to have been recast. Instead of posing for photo shoots, they're pleading the fifth before angry congressional committees. There's still plenty of honest executives, of course, but Bill George, former CEO of medical device maker Medtronic, says we lionized the wrong people.
Unfortunately, many of the highly publicized CEOs like Dennis Kozlowski and Ken Lay and Bernie Ebers, who have gotten a lot of the publicity now, are found that they didn't get their results in legitimate ways. It's a tragedy, I think, and I think it does threaten investor confidence in the leadership of our companies.
Regulators and Wall Street bankers have suggested a number of measures to help restore confidence. Some of those would rein in CEOs by requiring more independent boards of directors and allowing shareholders to veto executive stock options. George himself agrees with those ideas, but complains so far his fellow CEOs have been uncharacteristically silent.
More people need to come forward and say, here's what we need to do and here's what we need to get done. You know, even though we can say these are the egregious acts of a few, they point out the holes in our system. Look, I believe in strong CEOs. I was a strong CEO, but there needs to be a balance of power between the management role of the CEO and the governance role of the board of directors.
Scott Klinger of United for a Fair Economy says there's still a gross imbalance between the average worker's pay and what CEOs make, but he is seeing more of what he calls reality in the compensation of chief executives.
I think the days when CEOs are deemed infallible and the creators of all this great value, those days are gone. I think they're seen as human beings who deserve a fair wage, but not unlimited wages.
CEO pay actually fell 16% last year, though it still averages around $10 million. Scott Horsley, NPR News.